The following podcast is a production of Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. Before beginning our program, we would like to invite you to sign up for a free trial subscription to one of our publications at irei.com. Whether you are interested in real estate, infrastructure, or real assets in general, IREI has a publication to suit your needs. Select Publications on the main menu to choose a publication. Interested in more than one? Sign up for them all.
Hey, it's Bob Corto.
Hey, Bob, Mike Consul at Real Assets Advisor Magazine. How are you?
I'm great. How you doing, Mike?
Good. I appreciate you taking the time. I can tell you that your advanced person has assured me you are pretty much genius level, so I'm no pressure, but I'm expecting some big time deep diving here on big data and real estate. I'm jesting, of course, although Laura spoke very highly of you, so and your knowledge about big data and the intersection with real estate. Why don't you give me a little bit of the state of the art? I've been reading a lot, not so much reading a lot, I've been seeing a lot of headlines lately about big data and real estate. This is going to be pretty much new to me, to tell you the truth, because I haven't had time to really read up on it. What kind of get me up to speed on what big data and real estate and how the data is actually being utilized by real estate interests?
Sure. Well, if you take the macro view on real estate, there's a few things that are going on. First of all, the amount of capital that's going to real estate and the type of players that we're seeing in real estate are causing, you know, this asset class to really explode and become more professional. And because of the success that, you know, Pickett private equity, pension funds, banks have had over the last, you know, 10 years, in what has been an incredible run, they are continuing to invest in the opportunity to take real estate now global. So what that does is it increases the amount of investment in real estate, it moves into institutional hands, and it creates complexity of globalization. And for me, what that does is it creates an environment where people are, you know, looking to use data to isolate or to really understand where the opportunities could be. It creates a need for data to manage risk. It creates a need for data to present, you know, governance in a market here in Tenel that, you know, hasn't really used technology in a very significant way. So you see an interesting bell curve of, you know, the haves and have not in the industry. And some of the leading companies are now really starting to take advantage of data, both their own, you know, if they're of scale, but also to marrying that up with data that is available from the industry, and there's a number of industry players. But on top of that, what's going on is there's been a huge investment in venture capital, of which what we're seeing is a bunch of really, really interesting new companies come out that are taking data now and presenting it back to these customers in fairly interesting ways. And so all of that is causing, you know, a fairly quick change in the way data is seen in the industry, how it's used, and frankly is increasing the importance of data.
What kind of data is being processed? Get specific with me if you can, Bob.
Well, the kind of things that you'll see in a more traditional way is to start thinking about how your assets are performing, and companies are now investing in, you know, technologies to get a really good handle on trends around revenue, expense management, expense type metrics, which is a fairly, you know, sort of call it stage one or fairly obvious place to start. But pretty quickly thereafter, companies like ours are now giving information about benchmarking performance. So, you know, how have I performed in my revenue trajectory, vacancies, expense management, relative to other assets on the market, And investors in these funds are really interested in seeing how these asset managers are performing against each of those kind of opportunities. And more and more, we're seeing unique companies come out that are fairly becoming more sophisticated in giving visibility to those type of metrics. And then on top of it, once you have a certain critical mass of information, the ability to start thinking about liquidity, so creating daily valuation around a portfolio so you can attract new and different types of investors is another way of using data to increase the investment possibilities for your fund, as one example. And then, you know, we're seeing even technologies like lease abstraction that, you know, can combine sort of machine learning and basic machine intelligence to be able to take some of the cost out of managing significant amounts of data as well. So you're seeing innovation across the spectrum of data. Much of it, you know, already available in other industries is now really starting to accelerate in real estate.
You know, it's interesting because real estate was one of those industries that a lot of people said was really slow to adopt technology, and obviously it's happening in a significant way now. What might happen with the inclusion of big data? I mean, is it really a matter of the computing power speeding the delivery or processing of the information up? Obviously, it's going to be faster, but is it actually getting into entirely new areas of data, or is it more an effect of the data that people would have been handling in the past is actually being brought to bear in a much faster way?
Yeah. Well, I think in its broadest sense, the whole idea of data in real estate is really to catch up with what's available in other markets. And if you think about, you know, trading platforms or, you know, technologies like Bloomberg or Thomson Reuters, where you can go in and learn everything there is about equities, the idea of having access to data to really understand how particular assets are performing based on an asset class or a geography are kind of an interesting starting point. And over time, clearly the idea of creating trading environments, you're seeing companies come out that are using social media type applications to raise money for real estate, the ability to understand the implications of a major, you know, political or financial change in a market like Brexit, and what the implications of currency are on a global portfolio. These are all things that are really aided significantly by access to large amounts of data and give insight on how that investment might perform against the backdrop of both changing revenue curves, the implications of currency, and frankly, you know, flat-out political risk, all will lead to be able to, you know, present a view of how that asset's performed against other assets. And the fact that these large players are now operating this on a global basis is only going to encourage the idea of aggregating data and understanding how those individual assets perform individually, but also as a portfolio.
So the big question is, and I don't expect you to spout figures right now, Bob, but are the actual metrics pointing to the fact that there's better performance because of the utilization of this data?
Well, I think people are using data now to make decisions on things like revenue price points on assets. They're looking at data to determine different ways of creating lease contracts, as an example, or even as they think about best use of a new piece of land for development. What are the different scenarios they can look at based on benchmark data? And so clearly, what you see is that the smarter, more advanced, more innovative real estate companies are now starting to take advantage of these tools to be able to make decisions, both in the short term and the long term. So that's only going to accelerate, you know, as some of these technologies and the actual data becomes more and more mainstream.
But this hasn't been out. I mean, the big data movement, so to speak, hasn't been out there long enough for people to say the people using big data are getting higher performance. They're getting alpha. Well, the people who aren't using big data are not achieving alpha.
I actually would tell you that there is a group of companies that I would consider breakout companies that are now starting to use software and data as an integral part of their overall business model. And these companies are some of the biggest companies in the world that have used data and technology in other part of their business, whether they're private equity funds or financial institutions that see the advantage of having the knowledge and making decisions in a very quick way. As an example, some of these players, when, you know, using the Brexit example, is again, you know, really became immediate buyers and targeted the implications of a rising U.S. dollar, the devaluation of assets, what funds were available to actually invest in. They actually were able to put together targeted investment models and approach some of the UK-based investors to see if they would, you know, let assets free. And all of that came fairly quickly because they wanted to have time to market advantage. So we're starting to see some of those players step out and use those tools to be able to create, you know, opportunities to acquire assets, you know, in a way that is advantageous to their global portfolio.
So you mentioned haves and have-nots, and you're talking about some of these companies. You're using a lot of pronouns there, but who's out in front on this? Can you name some names, like name three companies that are really advanced in terms of their utilization of big data?
I'd probably be reluctant to do that, and the reason for that is that I think those companies absolutely see this as an advantage, and they're the least likely companies to want to talk about it. But we did a survey of the top of 300 companies with significant assets in their portfolio, and what was interesting, it's a different way of answering your question, 80% of them saw the need for more data and technology to operate their business, whereas only, you know, 20% of them felt that they had adequate capability to do that, which points to this idea of a smaller group of innovative companies are now jumping out to take advantage of data and software to really, you know, change the way they manage their business, you know, broadly. Those same companies are doing more benchmarking. They're looking at isolating, you know, gaps in asset performance, whether it's on the revenue or expense side. They're starting to use data for pricing assets. And, you know, we think we're doing some very interesting things to help with that. But also companies like VTS are doing, you know, which is an early stage company, are doing some really good things to help customers be able to get visibility on performance. And so I'm not quite answering your question, but most of the companies that I would think as leaders would prefer me not to to isolate them as one of those companies.
Well, let's stick with the haves and have-nots theme for just a minute. The have-nots. Computing costs drop precipitously. We've seen that over the years. So I am going to ask you just probably not a fair question, but do you have any sense for how quickly companies who find this kind of technology out of reach will be able to afford it, just based on the cost declines in computing power?
Yeah, I think that the new technologies and much of what we're offering into the marketplace have a obvious return associated with them. And more, you know, the customers that I talk to are, you know, happy to invest to use these services or capabilities if they can see a specific return associated with that. So it's not just about, you know, is the cost of technology coming back to Earth so people can afford it. Obviously, you know, there is definitely that trend or phenomenon going on. But now, as people start using these technologies, they become essential. They become a way of, you know, really explaining the performance of your assets. It's a tool to communicate to investors how they're doing relative to others. We create an Odyssey benchmark, and in that Odyssey benchmark, you can actually drill down and determine the performance of the, you know, top 50 or 60 open funds in North America or in the U.S., and really be able to navigate on that. And investors expect it. It's a really good technology for the asset managers to even start thinking about their portfolio weighting and risk. And these tools, you know, almost become mandatory as they become available and they become essential in just operating your business. So you got both things happening.
It's three things that are going to drive availability and use of technology. It's the amount of new innovative technologies that are coming out. You know, 4 years ago, there might have been $200 million invested in venture capital. Last year, over $2 billion, and it's growing astronomically. And so there's going to be a lot of new innovative capabilities. As you said, the cost of using this technology will go down significantly. And then the access to data. There's so many companies out there that are creating data, and companies are going to control their data more. All of those will conspire to get better information. It'll become part of the fabric of doing business in commercial real estate.
So tell me a little bit more about the VC money. There's a lot of VC money pouring into it. You just threw some figures out there.
Yep.
Are they in? They're not investing specifically in big data for real estate. You're saying that it's just the computing power and the ability to handle big data is just escalating. Is that what is going on?
I think it's both. Like most of the companies that are being invested in have a model that gives that allows for the combination of the use of data inside software. And that's a more normal phenomenon in all industries where data is seen as one of the most important assets for good decision-making. And, you know, it's central to our strategy as well. And so there is, in most cases where people are bringing new technologies to market, there's a big data aspect to it. And certainly via the software, you know, in the cloud and, you know, it gives both direct customers and these vendors the opportunity to collect that data in a way that, you know, will cause the industry to be more innovative.
So where is this headed? I mean, if you were to look 5-10 years down the road, or maybe even 20, I don't know if you'd want to look that far out, but what do the trend lines tell you that in terms of where it's headed?
Yeah, I think you'll see open trading platforms for real estate. You'll be able to take large asset pools and be able to value them on a daily basis or even more frequently if the trading mechanism gets you there. You'll have online auctions and trading platforms that allow for much more liquidity around real estate. Clearly, there will be the ability to lower costs in real estate through procurement and auction platforms that you see in other industries. There'll be the opportunity to really make very quick decisions on revenue trajectory based on both commercial real estate data but macro data as part of this. This will become a much more, you know, daily, high transaction, high volume, high knowledge type of industry versus where it's been in the past where, you know, it's more buy and hold. And so, you know, you're going to see some of the things that you've seen in the equity markets come into the real estate market if you look out 5-10 years, where, you know, people will operate this asset class on a global basis.
So what about more access for, say, a high net worth individual? They already have a lot of access to real estate, but take your high net worth individual who would like to play at a bigger scale in the real estate market, or even take your average investor, somebody who's not high net worth. Is this going to provide greater access?
Absolutely. The whole idea of the move towards daily valuation for these open funds is to be able to meet the objectives of, as an example, 401k investment criteria, where they can actually get in and out of a transaction regularly. And, you know, for the real estate companies, by, you know, creating more liquidity or an open and transparent way of understanding how that asset's performing, they create a significant and wider investment group. And it supports this whole idea of the institutionalization of real estate. But as soon as you go to that, then you have to have the data and information and platforms to be able to operate it with integrity. And that's you know, what you're going to see evolve fairly quickly, the ability for that 401k investor to come in and out of a real estate fund to participate with some of these large-scale, high-quality, well-run, institutional-grade type of portfolios. And that's coming fast. Like, the technology that we're seeing now that gives that level of integrity is becoming available very quickly.
What am I overlooking here? I mean, if we got off the phone right now, would you turn to your colleagues and say, gee, I was surprised Mike didn't ask me about this? What would that be?
You know, probably the one area that is going to be interesting is, you know, the regulatory environment around investing in real estate and how that could evolve to really make sure that, you know, we have higher transparency and a lot of visibility around these real estate assets. But that just goes hand in hand with the idea of going down this path to greater liquidity, letting individual investors into these portfolios. So, hey, look, it's just moving so fast. There's so many opportunities. I was at a conference about a month ago, 3 weeks ago, and now there's something like 2,300 companies in the industry selling solutions that solve some of these problems. So we got a lot of people, a lot of brain power working on solving those type of problems. And it's exciting. I love it. I love what's going on in the industry because it's changing fast, and it's against a backdrop of, you know, increasing governance, more, you know, concern about investment class visibility. And the asset managers are pushing hard to be able to have the tools to be able to operate these asset pools on a global basis. So it creates significant opportunities, and it's going to make for a great commercial real estate economy.